I just want to mention something real quickly before we get into NFL power rankings. We want to do Denton's college football preview for the weekend. Not a great college football weekend, by the way. Also, I've got a smell test pick coming up. But Bill Barnwell, some of you just sent me a link to this story. Bill Barnwell just put out a story, ESPN, titled How Running Quarterbacks Have Changed the NFL, a dual threat history and the value of it in the NFL. And we were talking earlier in the show about why passing yards, passing touchdowns are so down week one 2024 compared to 5 years ago. The numbers are incredible. There were 200 300-yard passers over the weekend. There were 17 that threw for under 200 yards. 5 years ago, there were 13 300-yard passers in week one. And 61 touchdown passes week one in 2019, just 34 this year. And Bill Barnwell talks about some of the things that we talked about, Denton, that it's, you know, this proliferation of running quarterbacks. And he writes, over the past 5 years, seven different quarterbacks have racked up 150 and 100 seasons. That means he defined that early on as, hold on for 1 second. I think it's 150 completions and 100 rushing attempts. No, it's 150 passing attempts and 100 rushing attempts. All right, so over the past 5 years, seven different quarterbacks have racked up 150 pass attempts and 100 rushing attempts. Now, they've been aided by the 17th game, but even upping the threshold to 150 and 125 rush attempts, five have reached that feat. And then he writes, and right now, as we begin the 2024 season, a full quarter of the league's starting quarterbacks are involved in their team's run game. In the AFC, there's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields in Pittsburgh, and Anthony Richardson. The NFC has Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Daniel Jones, and Kyler Murray. There are others, such as Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott, who have success as scramblers, but the eight just mentioned are involved in their team's designed run game. Now, I would actually take exception with Bill in describing it as a designed run game, because there are designed runs and then there are option runs. But part of the design of an option run is the option for the quarterback to run the football, and it's not a scramble. And we talk about this all the time, but there is the read option play style play, where it could be the running back, it could be the quarterback. And then there are the designed runs. You know, quarterback draw has been around forever. Spread the field, red zone, QB takes a step, you know, in shotgun, takes that one step back like he's going to throw, and then he goes right up the middle, or he finds the hole, you know, somewhere, A gap, B gap, C gap, and he's off, right? That's a designed run. Another designed run, like we saw on Sunday with Jaden, is quarterback counter, where you're pulling guard center or you're pulling guard tackle, and he's essentially a running back. And he's following them counter Trey style, you know. Or we've seen with Lamar Jackson, we saw many years with Cam Newton in particular, you know, true quarterback power, where you are, you know, you're blocking as if you're blocking for a running back. And quarterback sweep, saw that too. But this is definitely a massive impact on why passing yards are down. Passing touchdowns are down because the quarterbacks become so much more involved in the run game. And I haven't read through all of Bill's story because Bill's stories are long, but I think they're always so good and so well researched. But this really, and he writes here, the tide really shifted in 2011 when Tim Tebow and Cam Newton became 150 pass attempt, 100 rush attempt guys. Or you could argue the following year, and that's what we remember, RG3 Colin Kaepernick making playoff runs with offenses incorporating zone read concepts from the college level. Now, he writes, I'm not sure they stuck the landing because Tebow was out of the league. Griffin was, you know, got hurt. Kaepernick wasn't as effective when Harbaugh and Greg Roman left the picture, which is 100% true. Kaepernick had Harbaugh stuck around and Greg Roman stuck around as his offensive coordinator, probably would have continued his career and successfully in San Francisco. He had a build, by the way, as a quarterback that was not as much injury prone as, say, RG3's. But that's, you know, that along with the quarterbacks that are throwing a lot more than 150 times a year aren't as good as some of the all-time greats that have recently left the game. Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Rivers, etc. Matt Ryan is, you know, had some outrageously productive passing seasons. Matt Ryan's a borderline Hall of Famer, don't you think, Denton? He was an MVP.
I would say he gets in.
I think Matt Ryan will eventually get into the Hall. I feel like we've had this conversation about him before. So in 15 years, 5-time Pro Bowler, 4-time Pro Bowler, Rookie of the Year, and an MVP in 2016. 381 TDs to 183 interceptions. I'm just looking to see on the all-time. He's got to be way up there on the all-time yardage list, right? Has to be. Seventh. He's seventh behind Brady, Breeze, Manning, Favre, Roethlisberger, and Rivers on the all-time passing yardage list. Ahead of Marino, Rodgers. Rodgers certainly could catch him this year. Rodgers could pass him. Rodgers could pass Philip Rivers in the next 2 years as well. Actually, Rodgers, if he has two productive seasons, is going to probably move up to number five all time. He'll pass Roethlisberger, Rivers, and Ryan. But Ryan's seventh. I mean, Ryan's, you know, 5,000 plus yards ahead of Eli, who people think because of the two Super Bowls, obviously. But I think Matt Ryan, it's going to be a tough one when you get to Matt Ryan, right? He's got an MVP. He had a season in which he was in the Super Bowl and his 28-3 lead, but he also lost that Super Bowl. His record as a quarterback, for those that care about records for starting quarterbacks, 124, 109, and 1. In the postseason, Ryan was 4-6 as a starter overall. But with 20 touchdowns, 7 picks, and a 68% completion percentage. So not bad. Anyway, how did we get sidetracked? Oh, the Barnwell story. I'm gonna read this one because I have certainly been a firm believer going back to 2012 in the ability of dual threat football from the quarterback position and what it can do for you offensively. And he does talk about... by the way, he comes to a conclusion here that the scramble is actually the single best play in football from an EPA and expected points added standpoint. We saw a lot of that in week one with Jaden. All right, what did Kayvon Thibodeau say about Washington?
So this was him, I believe this was yesterday during media availability. So take a listen. I have the question in there so you hear what's asked, but take a listen to what Kayvon Thibodeau said.
Tibbs, are you looking forward to Washington? I mean, you've had a lot of success against them in your first 2 years.
Yeah.
What makes this team UCLA colors kind of elevate you?
I would say Washington in particular, you know, they're not really a rival, but they're in conference, in our same division, there we go. They're in our division, so it's always a great game. You know, we see them twice a year, so I'm excited. Jaden Daniels is a great quarterback. He's from Cali, you know, grew up with him, so I understand, you know, he's a great player, and I'm excited to go against him.
I mean, is it they're not a rival?
Not a rival.
Well, I mean, they're not for him. He's been in this league. They did have the 2022 games, the two games within 2 weeks or whatever it was, the tie and then the Sunday night loss where basically, you know, that put the Giants in the postseason and kind of knocked Washington out. And if my memory serves me correctly, he had a great game, right? Didn't he force a fumble early in that game on Taylor Heinicke?
Yeah, he's
Heinicke
been impossible
had like two fumbles and a pick in that game. Thibodeau had a big game in the second game, that Sunday night game at FedEx. 12 tackles, a sack, three TFLs, a quarterback hit, and a touchdown. He scored a touchdown. He sacked, fumbled, picked up the fumble, and scored early in the second quarter to give the Giants the lead. That was the game that ended with the missed interference call in the end zone on Curtis Samuel, I believe it was. Should have been called. Everybody says that cost him the game. Well, they still would have had to make, still would have had to score and then make a two-point conversion as well because they were down eight. Okay, whatever. I mean, look, this team's been in such a state for so long, they've lost their rivals. Dallas fans care much more about the Eagles, much more. They probably care more about the Giants. Eagles fans care much more about the Eagles and Cowboys than the Skins. And the Giants fans care about the Cowboys and Eagles more than the Skins. The Skins are the team in the division that is the least, you know, valued in terms of a rivalry by opponents' fans in the division. It's gotten that way. You can thank old Dan for that. 25 years of sucking. And by the way, being embarrassing while sucking. And that's just the truth. There's not one team in our division that looks at us as a chief rival or even the second pick. The Cowboys in order would probably, the Cowboys are the closest. The Cowboys would go the Eagles one, maybe Washington two. The Giants would go Eagles one, Cowboys two. The Eagles would go Cowboys one, Giants two. If you talk to their fans. For us, I personally still think it's the Cowboys one by a long shot, and probably the Eagles too. Even though really history says the biggest games were, you had many much more important games against the Giants when they were good than the Eagles. But I don't think that that's out of line at all. I don't think the Giants and Eagles would not have Washington in their top two as rivals. And the Cowboys, it's debatable. I think maybe Dallas fans would put Washington at number two behind Philadelphia. But Philadelphia is the number one Cowboy rival. I would bet you that 49ers are ahead of Washington in terms of the way they view their rivalries now. It's sad. I get it. But I think it's true. All right, when we come back, we'll do NFL power rankings. We'll see if we get to a dent in college football preview. We may have to save that for tomorrow. But I do want to tell you that Window Nation's got a great September savings opportunity. If you've been thinking about new windows, now is the perfect time. They lead the industry with an impressive 96% customer satisfaction rating. That means when you choose Window Nation, you're getting top-notch quality and outstanding service every step of the way. Replace your old drafty windows and enjoy up to 40% savings on your energy bills. Your home will look nicer and you'll save up to 40% on your heating and air conditioning bills. Gets even better, Window Nation offers an unbeatable lifetime warranty. That's their promise to you that your new windows are built to last for years to come. Right now, take advantage of an exclusive offer. You get two windows free for every two you purchase, no limit. If you need 10 windows, you're only paying for five of them. Right now, take advantage of this exclusive offer, which also includes no money down, no payments, and no interest for two full years. If you've been thinking about new windows, all I'm asking you is to give them a chance to come out and give you a free estimate. No risk, no cost. They're not going to pressure you. You're not obligated to anything. Don't wait. Call Window Nation today. Schedule your free estimate now. Go to windownation.com or call them at 866-90-NATION. And remember, to get this special offer, tell them Kevin Sheehan sent you.
Rank 'em 1 to 5. I've got the power. NFL power rankings.
All right, it's so hard to do after 1 week. We do our top five, and then we have a team that we think is lurking out there. Not an obvious team, but a team that we think has a chance to be a surprise top five at some point during the year. I mean, I'll go first. I'm going to put Philly at five, and I know that there are lots of choices for basically – I mean, I think there are three teams right now that you would look at and say they got to be in your top three in some order. I actually think there's a fourth there, even though they lost their opener. And then you got a bunch of teams. I'm going to put Philly at five. I'm actually a believer in Philadelphia this year. I mean, Nick Sirianni could blow it all up. But my God, Saquon Barkley's debut was impressive. A.J. Brown was impressive in that game. Devontae Smith was impressive in that game. How about linebacker Zach Bond? If you watch that Friday night game on Peacock, Zach Bond, 53, who was a signing from New Orleans, he was a dominant player in that game. I thought, you know, other than maybe Barkley, he was the best player on the field. He had 15 tackles in the game, two sacks, you know, had like two or three other near sacks in the game. What an athlete he is. I got Philly at five. I've got the Ravens still in my top five despite the loss. They lost to Kansas City and nearly had a chance there at the end to go for two and win it. I've got the Ravens at four. I've got Detroit at three. That game Sunday night, high-level game for week one. And I don't know, there's a possibility I'll get off the Lions. I didn't pick them to win the division this time last week. I picked Green Bay to win the division, but that's not going to happen without Jordan Love, depending on how long he's out for. But they have so many ways offensively. You know, the backfield of Montgomery and Gibbs. Jameson Williams, you know, had a big game. I mean, he's been hit and miss because of injuries, because of a suspension. You know, they won a game putting up, you know, nearly 400 yards with Amon-Ra St. Brown not being a major factor in the game. I got Detroit at three, and then I'm going to go KC 2 and the 49ers 1. I know that's crazy since the last time we saw these two teams, it was Kansas City winning. But the year-to-year just doesn't mean that much. The Niners were – it's 1 week, but the fact that they dominated the Jets on the ground the way they did – that is scary for everybody else without Christian McCaffrey. Jordan Mason going for $147. I got – that's my order. I got San Fran, KC, Detroit, Baltimore, Philly. What's your order?
So we're a little different. Again, it's week one. It's difficult to come up with five. But at five, I had the Chargers. I just thought they were so dominant when it came to – running the football against a defense in Vegas that I happen to think is pretty good. I don't think their quarterback situation is great, but I think their defense is good, and they imposed their will. So I got the Chargers at four. I got Buffalo at four. Yep. I think Josh Allen was awesome. And the comeback win, he's one of the guys in the NFL right now. Like, we talk about quarterback play. We talked earlier in the show about it. He's a guy that I trust right now. You understand that some turnovers are going to come because he is a little sporadic and a bit of a gunslinger. But when push comes to shove, I want the ball in his hands. So I got Buffalo at four. I have Detroit at three for some of the reasons that you mentioned. And then I have, very similarly, Kansas City 2 and San Francisco at one. San Francisco is so talented. So talented. Mahomes, obviously way better than Brock Purdy, but all of the other weapons around Brock Purdy are, I mean, they're so good. And once Brandon Ayuk gets back to being Brandon Ayuk and catches, they're going to be even more dangerous.
So I had Buffalo and the Chargers right there in that, five spot for me. You didn't put Baltimore in there, and I guess maybe because they lost, but I still think the Ravens are a top five team in this league. I mean, I think you could have made a case for Dallas. You could have made a case for Houston. You know, even the Rams in defeat with the way they looked in week one. But let me give you the team that may be a little bit more off the radar that I think you got to take seriously this year because – I think that offensively they might be a little bit different, and that is Pittsburgh. I'm assuming Justin Fields is going to start this week, right?
They're not going to start.
I'm sorry?
I would assume that's the case. You can't go to Russ.
I mean, he's just too much of a threat with his legs. And he rushed for 57 yards. He also threw it to George Pickens multiple times, even covered. And Pickens is legit. And if Pittsburgh's all they have to do is be marginally better than they were last year offensively and the year before that, because they've been a horrible offensive team. Because defensively, the T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, then, you know, Cam Hayward, Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, Patrick Queen. This team could be dominant defensively, and T.J. Watt is a complete, like Myles Garrett is. I guess, you know, you could say the same about Parsons, but Watt is just, he looks ready to roll. Who do they have this weekend? Denver, I think? At Denver?
Yes, at Denver.
They're nowhere near my top five now. They're just a team, to me, just to keep an eye on, because maybe 4 or 5 weeks down the road, we're like, wow, maybe Pittsburgh is a lot better than we thought. What about for you?
I got the Ravens, and then I have the Dolphins for tonight. If they go in and if they beat Buffalo tonight, that'd be
two. I thought we were going to try to find a team that wasn't like, you know, that's kind of off the board a little bit.
Oh, that's off the board a little bit?
Yeah, because the Ravens, you can make a case top five right now. The Dolphins, you can make a case top five right now. I'm saying a team that you can't really make a case for being top five right now, but you think we may think about that team that way a few weeks from now.
I would then go Chicago. They got Houston this weekend. It's a Sunday night game. If Caleb Williams, assuming that he's going to look better, if they go into Houston and beat Houston, that'd be very impressive. So I'd say Chicago.
Denton, they had 148 yards of offense, and they were 2 for 13 on third down. I know you picked them to be a playoff team.
I thought you said we were reaching.
No, I get it, but my God, they were it's 1 week. I get it. But I'm surprised you went there, other than that was your surprise playoff team in the NFC.
Well, because if they beat Houston, who we think right now is a far better team, I think that completely shifts our view of them.
I agree. And by the way, I think Chicago is going to be a potential pick tomorrow for me, plus the points. All right. We'll save college football talk for tomorrow. We'll do Denton's college football preview tomorrow. I do have a Thursday night college football smell test pick coming up in about 15 minutes. Jordan DeJani, CBS Sports, NFL next. We welcome onto the show, once again, one of our favorites, Jordan DeJani from CBS Sports, at Jordan, DAJANI, on X, on Twitter. He covers the NFL. We've got a week in the books, Jordan, and we look forward now to week two, which starts tonight. Off of week one, was there anybody more impressive to you than the 49ers on Monday night?
What's going on, Kevin? Thanks for having me on the show. That was an incredible win. I mean, they say we don't even need Christian McCaffrey. We're going to take Jordan Mason and just run up and down the field on this vaunted Jets defense. I was on record believing that the Jets could have the best defense in the NFL this season, and I'm already feeling a little bit stupid with how the 49ers handled them. I mean, Aaron Rodgers providing a consistent presence at quarterback, something that New York has not had in several years. I thought the Jets were poised to really take off, but the 49ers proved to the NFL world why they are one of the best teams in the league, why they are favored to return to the Super Bowl, and they didn't even need Christian McCaffrey to do so.
Fields versus Wilson, is it over?
It should be. I mean, I've been very stable in myself saying that I really think that Justin Fields should have been the winner of the quarterback battle as it was. I don't have any faith in Russell Wilson. And I think when we're talking about a team that is down a couple starters on the offensive line with an offensive coordinator that wants to run the football, that Justin Fields should have been the easy choice all along. At this point in his career, Russell Wilson doesn't seem like someone who can see the field that well and step up in the pocket when there's pressure, escape the pocket, and throw the ball downfield. It doesn't seem like Russell Wilson is that player anymore, at least not what I saw during his time with the Denver Broncos. And you go back to the win against the Falcons, which was an upset in week one with Justin Fields. He, of course, added that element of being a weapon with his legs. He showed off clear, established chemistry with wide receiver one, George Pickens. And he was efficient, relatively. Looking at his numbers in terms of percentage from a passing standpoint, Justin Fields had one of his more efficient days as a thrower of the football. So I think those are good signs for the Steelers moving forward. And now you look forward to week two right here against the Denver Broncos, a very winnable game, albeit on the road. I think Justin Fields could lock up the quote-unquote competition with a good win against Denver in week two.
had somebody on earlier because we play, Washington plays the Giants this week, talking about the Daniel Jones situation. But what do you think? I mean, this is a guy that might be number one on the list of mocked players after week one. Is it over if he doesn't come in here and beat Washington?
You know, it does feel over. And I feel like that's crazy to say as we enter week two, but week one against the Vikings, that was the most downtrodden Daniel Jones I think I've ever seen. So much so that the Vikings even said that they felt bad for the guy. I mean, since the start of last season, Daniel Jones has thrown more touchdowns to the wrong team than his own team. He's got three pick sixes and two passing touchdowns. He's 1-6 as the starter since signing his $160 million deal. And, I mean, on top of this, I kind of have concerns about the defensive side of the ball as well. I know that they went out there and got Brian Burns, but keep in mind that they have a new defensive coordinator with Shane Bowen compared to what they had with Wink Martindale. And what I noticed was that it was very apparent against Minnesota that there was a change at DC because the Giants blitzed Sam Darnold on 23.1% of his dropbacks. And that's a huge difference from what Wink Martindale was doing from an aggressive standpoint. So Sam Darnold was allowed to be incredibly efficient, look like a true QB1 against this Giants defense. So from Daniel Jones to the defense to the team at large, things are not looking so great for the rival Giants.
You know, that point's been made twice on the show about how Shane Bowen approach much different than Wink Martindale. You know, Washington had last year in Sam Howell essentially a rookie quarterback, and Wink Martindale made him look bad on two different occasions. I mean, they were underdogs here, 9-point underdogs, and came in with Tommy DeVito and won the game. So is it just that you think that's how he approached Minnesota with Darnold, with, you know, Jefferson and Addison and the weapons they have? By the way, they added the Green Bay running back from the year before, Aaron Jones, who had a big day. Do you think that that's what's in store for Jaden Daniels, or do you think he'll come after Daniels more?
You know, it's a good question. I think part of it has to do with game planning for any opponent week to week. But Shane Bowen was the DC with the Tennessee Titans. So you can go back there and look at how Mike Vrabel approached different opponents. And they love to get pressure with four if they can do that. And the way that the Giants operated this offseason, that's something that they want to accomplish and give their linebackers and those in those secondary nickels some more flexibility when it comes to sticking to their assignments. So, no, I do have a question about the Giants and how they want to apply pressure on Jaden Daniels. The thing is, I don't know how much confidence you guys have in your Commander's offensive line, because my confidence was certainly shaken with their performance against Tampa Bay. The bottom line is that Jaden Daniels' legs are absolutely going to be a key to victory if Washington wants to get into the win column.
You know, you mentioned Mike Vrabel, and I think he's in Cleveland. I think that's where he ended up as like a, you know, some sort of consultant. I forget if he's on the staff. I'm looking it up right now. Maybe you know the answer to this. But I was going to ask you about Cleveland. Clearly, there is a quarterback there that they made a massive mistake with, because since the personal issues with him started, he's never been the same as a player or maybe even as a teammate. What are they going to do with the Deshaun Watson situation in Cleveland?
Yeah, you know, I didn't know he could look any worse. You know, I thought that this year maybe could be the time where he improved his play and at least approached the territory of looking like a shadow of himself when he was with the Houston Texans. And, of course, that didn't happen against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. He went 0-for-10 on passes with 15 air yards. That's the worst mark since air yards were first tracked in 2006. And, by the way, he still hasn't passed for 300 yards in a game as a Brown. And Sunday, you know, in the season opener, in front of your home fans, against the Cowboys, kind of felt like a new low. And now, of course, there's this new civil lawsuit that's been reported on this week. And I think a lot of people are trying to speculate if the Cleveland Browns wanted to be very aggressive and get out of the contract. You know, is that something that we could start talking about? I don't know. I don't know what the Browns' level of confidence in him is, but of course it has to be shaken given just all that's transpired ever since the trade became official. So I will say that the developments from this civil lawsuit, because it appears that the plaintiff is going to attempt to go along with the NFL investigation. If the NFL decides to suspend Deshaun Watson due to their findings of the investigation, and again, I don't know how likely that is, that's when we can start having conversations about maybe a void contract moving forward.
Yeah, and an opportunity to get out of it. Vrabel is a coaching and personnel consultant with the Cleveland Browns. I'm actually still surprised he did not get a job in the offseason. We're talking to Jordan DeJohnny from CBS Sports. Back to Monday night. How did you think Aaron Rodgers looked? I know they barely had the football in the game because they couldn't get San Francisco off the field, but how did you think he looked?
Some good plays, some bad plays. Of course, I'll go back to that free play of that great touchdown pass he had to Alan Lazard across the middle. I thought that his wide receiving corps struggled with a couple of drops during the course of action. But there's no doubt that Aaron Rodgers looks less mobile than he's ever looked before in his NFL career. And the offensive line did struggle against the San Francisco pass rush at times as well. So I feel like you have to remember that Aaron Rodgers is objectively the oldest player in the NFL coming off of that torn Achilles. He hasn't played a real football game in over a year. And I think that there was definitely some rust with how he approached the game. But here's the bottom line. He's going to be an improvement at the quarterback position compared to what the Jets have had over the past few years. But I think the biggest shock to me was just how the defense fared against San Francisco. So it's interesting because the Jets now go to Tennessee to play the Titans in week two on a short week, another road game. And I feel like Denard Wilson, the new Titans defensive coordinator, Maryland Terrapins legend, by the way, he had an incredible showing in his first game. So I'm really intrigued to see that chess match between Aaron Rodgers and the Titans, they're currently ranked number one in the NFL defense.
Denard Wilson, not only a Terp, but also a DeMatha product from Hyattsville. So in keeping with the quarterback conversation with quarterbacks that came back off injuries, what does Joe Burrow look like to you? Is this something that's lingering, or was it just the typical Cincinnati week one, a dog game, which they've played a couple of times under Burrow?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow's now 1-8 in his career in weeks 1 through 2, so it's very fair to say that the Bengals really struggle to get off on the right foot when it comes to approaching the regular season. But I do think that there is some concern with maybe lingering issues. I mean, all the talk in the NFL this week has been about him picking up Gatorade bottles and him shaking off his wrist and things of that nature. He certainly didn't look like the confident Joe Cool in the pocket when facing the New England Patriots. And, of course, he cost us all our survivor pools in week one. So I'm really interested to see how he bounces back against, I mean, the best team in the league, the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium. But it's just hard for me to envision that we're going to see Joe Burrow look so much better than he was in week one. I mean, 21 of 29, just 164 yards. There was absolutely some rust with Ja'Marr Chase, and then T. Higgins didn't play with the hamstring injury, and who knows if he suits up for week two.
When is Jordan Love back, and are there chances to, at least contend in that division shot?
So I think the timetable that NFL media put out there was 3 to 6 weeks, and Jordan Love, I think his team's already put it out there that he's going to try to get back as soon as possible. So you look at the next three games on the Packers schedule, the Indianapolis Colts this week, which I think is a very tough matchup, even though it's in Green Bay. Then you face the Tennessee Titans, who don't appear to be a great team. Then you host the Minnesota Vikings the next week after that. So I don't think we can objectively say that the Packers' chances of winning the division are shot. If Malik Willis can get one win over the next three games and Jordan Love returns, then that would be a win, in my opinion, given how we were feeling after we saw that pop in Jordan Love's knee against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I don't think we can say they're shot just yet. I mean, it's absolutely a hit to this team. I think it's really interesting to watch how Malik Willis fares. I think that was one of the biggest surprises of NFL cutdown day, was that the Packers, they got rid of their two backup quarterbacks and sent a seventh round pick to Tennessee for Malik Willis. This is a quarterback who's only started three games. He's won one of them. And in all three of those starts, he's never crossed 100 yards passing. So to say it was a gamble to go out there and trade for this guy to be your solidified number two is an understatement. So it'll be fascinating to see how he fares under Matt LaFleur's guidance.
Are they admitting in Atlanta that Kirk Cousins is not healthy?
I mean, do they have to? He certainly didn't look very spry in the pocket. How would I put it that way? Kirk Cousins looked like he certainly had some rust. And, man, I want to give some credit to the Steelers' defensive backs, though. Those guys were flying around the field. T.J. Watt had one of the best games I think I've ever seen him play. The right. Steelers' defense really controlled that matchup. But, yeah, I think there's clearly reasons for concern with Kirk Cousins. His debut in Atlanta in front of his home fans was an absolute dud. So it's just one of those things where, you know, week one can be a liar. Kirk Cousins has been statistically one of the best quarterbacks in the league during his time with the Vikings. So who do they play this week? They play the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and then
so
the Chiefs the next week. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, there could be some – there's going to be some Penix talk if they – if he's – if they don't get something done here. You tweeted something out, and I didn't see any of this game, but tell everybody essentially the historic day that Anthony Richardson had for the Colts.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson is the most intriguing player this year, in my opinion, to watch in the NFL, and I think the Colts are the most intriguing team as well. Anthony Richardson is this young quarterback who hasn't played much football, but he also has an incredible athletic profile and an absolute cannon for an arm. So in week one, you look at his stat line, he completed just 9 passes on 19 attempts with an interception. It was not the most even day, if you will, but he averaged 16.4 air yards per attempt.
Wow.
That was the highest mark by any quarterback in a game over the last 2 seasons. And he also became the first quarterback to complete 2 passes with 50-plus air yards in a game since 2018. The rest of the NFL, by the way, they had just 1 completion of 50 air yards combined. So Anthony Richardson really showed what he was capable of as a passer in terms of launching the ball down the field. And again, I'm really excited to see what this kid is capable of in his development if he can stay healthy, and that is a huge if.
I mean, he is a physical freak with an unbelievable arm, but we were told a year ago he needs to sit for a year minimum. He didn't. He got hurt. And he's still raw. But the talent there is, I agree, it's one of the intriguing stories to watch. And definitely the roster they have, it's a good roster. It's a playoff roster if the quarterback can play. All right, heading into tonight, you wrote about Keon Coleman, the rookie receiver from Florida State, who had a decent week one with Josh Allen in Buffalo, replacing essentially Steph Diggs. Not exactly, but is he the guy that Buffalo needed this year, and can he do it as a rookie? Because I think that was a big question mark, their pass catchers.
Right. It's still to be determined, in my opinion. I mean, he was the Bills' leading receiver in week one with 51 yards on 4 catches. But I think it's a possibility this could be his quote-unquote coming out party, you know, in prime time on a short week against a divisional opponent in the Miami Dolphins who are dealing with some injuries. So I think it still remains to be seen if he can step up and be that, that number one that Josh Allen needs. Because if you watch that game against Arizona, Josh Allen really had to take it upon himself and score 4 total touchdowns to complete the comeback. But I really do like this Keon kid. I think he's incredibly competitive. I think he works the sideline well. I think he's got good hands as well. So I think that he had a pretty decent showing in week one, and I think he's definitely a player to watch here tonight.
Most intriguing game of week two is?
I would say, man, it's a little biased. I'm sitting here in Nashville, Tennessee, but I'm kind of interested to see how Aaron Rodgers looks in week two and how Will Levis, by the way, can bounce back in week two as well, because the vibes here in Music City are not great after Will Levis threw the worst interception of all time to lose them the game. But, you know, Bengals and Chiefs, we talked about a little bit. Joe Burrow, can he get back into shape? Another one that I'm just personally intrigued in is the Chicago Bears traveling to the Houston Texans
yep.
for Sunday Night Football. Because the Bears won their week one game, people are not talking about how Caleb Williams basically did nothing. He looked pretty bad on offense, to be honest. I thought Jaden Daniels had the best rookie performance when we're talking about quarterbacks getting their first start. So is this going to be an instance where the negative Caleb Williams narratives are really born on a primetime stage? Or can he be really competitive against the Texans defense that showed some lapses down the field?
As always, thanks, Jordan. Enjoy the weekend.
You're the man, Kevin. Thanks so much.
Jordan DeJohnny, CBS Sports. And we get a game tonight. So I do have a smell test pick real quickly, early for a Thursday night game. It's not Buffalo, Miami. I am looking forward to watching that game. Miami's favored with even some of the injuries and how poor they looked last week. It is at home, short week. Texas State tonight, Denton. Pick 'em. Texas State is playing Arizona State. Arizona State beat Mississippi State last week, blew out Wyoming. It's a one-sided public game, and there is that line at one point, they were getting 2.5. It's down to a pick 'em. Lots of sharp money on Texas State. I don't love the number that we're getting at a pick. I wish I could get it at 1.5, 2, 2.5. But Texas State, an early smell test pick. Russell and Linnell up next, back tomorrow.